Case Closed, Crime Stories from the Golden Age of Radio. Welcome back to Case Closed. Got another hour of crime for you this week, beginning with Barry Craig, Confidential Investigator. We'll hear The Long Way Home, his episode from July 8th, 1952. Then it's Night Beat, their episode from June 5th of 1950, titled The Girl from Kansas. First, here's Barry Craig.
Gargan stars as Barry Craig, Confidential Investigator.
It's a sad fact, but very few murderers ever amount to anything. They're in such a killing profession, and when they come to the end of their rope, there's always a noose attached to it.
The National Broadcasting Company presents William Gargan in another transcribed drama of mystery and adventure with America's number one detective, Barry Craig, Confidential Investigator.
Barry Craig speaking. Ever notice the fact that the work a man does leaves its mark on him? 9 times out of 10, you can spot a doctor, a lawyer, a butcher, a baker half a block away. I wonder what a confidential investigator looks like. He looks like me. I figured the above philosophy represented a good day's work. The shadows were creeping along Madison Avenue. I got out of the office. And I locked the door behind me. Maybe I could fool a burglar into thinking I had something worth stealing. I hoped I wasn't waking Jake. A night elevator man needs his sleep. Something was wrong. He'd started the elevator up almost before I'd finished pushing the buzzer. You can spoil tenants awful fast that way. Jake?
Hey.
You suffering from insomnia?
No.
You've been reading a book on how to get ahead in the world?
No.
Well, stop chattering and let's get started. Well, you got the door shut fine. Now we're supposed to go down.
Oh, glad you reminded me.
They didn't have any elevators down on your farm in Vermont.
No.
It figures.
No office buildings, neither.
That figures, too.
No shiny cars, no blondes.
What did you do during the long winter evenings?
Decided to leave the farm, Mr. Craig.
Well, right about now is when you open the elevator door.
Ain't sure I should.
Why?
Tent the farm.
Meaning, we've got elevators, office buildings, shiny cars, and a blonde?
Yep.
I'm not afraid of blondes.
Back in Vermont, 'twas her pop usually carried the gun.
But here?
She's carrying it.
Must be a strain on her. Open up, Jay.
Yep.
Where'd you hide her?
The shiny car.
Outside?
That's the one.
Oh, I like them, that shape. Long, rounded, smooth.
You mean the car?
Oh, sure. As far as the blonde goes, there's not a wrinkle or a gun on her.
A bag.
Oh.
I see it when she powdered her nose.
Well, maybe it's a trick cigarette case.
No.
She could be waiting for somebody else.
Nobody else in the building.
Then I'd better not keep her waiting. After all, you can only die once.
Once is enough.
Don't remind me. Besides, blondes rarely have any reason to shoot me.
Boasting?
Just being wistful. Good night, Jake.
Night, Mr. Craig.
Well, I've been waiting long.
Not very.
Beautiful night.
Isn't it?
The name's Craig.
I know.
Well, Jake could be wrong.
Who's Jake?
The nightman.
He wasn't wrong.
Then I get in?
Please.
Okay. Well, the name's still Craig.
I'm Mona Walsh.
Mrs. Walsh?
Mrs. Walsh.
How's Mr. Walsh?
That's why I was waiting for you.
We're going to see him?
I hope not.
I could think of an easy explanation. Mona Walsh had seen me, had been carried away by my rugged physique and my mildly scrambled features, and was now carrying me off to a tryst among the pines, or maybe the maples. It was too easy an explanation, and it didn't include the gun. We're going someplace or just cruising?
I'm trying to find words, the best way to tell you.
I've been a confidential investigator for quite a while. You don't have to find the best way.
My husband isn't Mr. Walsh. He's Ted Walsh.
Well, what difference does that... Wait a minute. Ted Walsh?
That's right. The Ted Walsh.
If I remember my newspaper headlines correctly, he's killed a few men here and there.
Yes.
His last little effort was robbing a bank someplace in Massachusetts.
And killing a guard.
And killing a guard. Nice guy.
I didn't know what he was when I married him. You probably won't believe that.
If you turn out to be a client of mine, I'll have to believe it.
Well, it's true. I didn't know until just recently. When I found out, I left him. Came here to New York.
Fair enough. You're in the clear. What's bothering you?
Ted's in New York, too.
New York's a big place.
Ted's terribly in love with me. He came here for only one reason.
You could keep your door locked.
Oh, please, don't joke.
I wasn't joking. Keep your door locked and your telephone handy. The police would be glad to remove him from your doorstep.
Ted would spot them. Then he'd know I told the police about him. He'd get away from them. He's done it before. He'd kill me.
Possible.
But if you watched for him, he wouldn't spot you. Then, as soon as he came... You carry a gun, don't you?
I've got a license, too.
Well, then everything would be all right, wouldn't it?
Might be. There'd be a fee.
I thought perhaps $500.
Well, that's too high. I generally get $50 a day in expenses.
Well, that doesn't seem enough.
I run a one-price shop.
Well, all right.
This your place?
Yes.
Well, let's get out. Small house. Stay there alone?
Yes.
I can see why you'd worry.
I feel nervous, exposed, standing around like...
Well, we'll try the house. I'd better go in with you.
Of course.
In case he's a little early.
Oh, I hadn't thought of...
Don't get excited. I'm probably too careful. But we'll check anyway. Got your key?
Oh, here.
Over to the side, huh?
What?
The lamppost out front throws some light. The house is dark. You'd make a nice target.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. So far, fine. Light switch near the door?
To the left, on the way inside.
Okay, stay where you are. Clear enough. Come on in. Got a latch on it? Uh-huh. Good. Rest of the house now. I feel like a termite inspector. Except termites don't kill, do they? Mr. Walsh was not at home. Mrs. Walsh felt good about it. I didn't have time to get philosophical about marriage. I checked the back of the house for good measure. A high fence took care of the garden and the back door. There was only the front door to worry about. You're alone in the house, Mrs. Walsh.
Yes.
When I shut this door behind me, you'll lock it.
Of course.
Then if your husband comes calling...
I'll be safe.
You won't have to use that gun you're carrying around anyway.
You'll be out front someplace?
Yeah. The nearest convenient doorway. I'll find one. It's one of the things you learn fast in my business. How to find convenient doorways. So long, Mrs. Walsh.
So long.
There was a small nightlight over the door. That was nice. It would light up Mr. Walsh neatly if he visited. I had my choice of two or three doorways from which I could watch the Walsh house and be close enough to have a clean shot at Ted Walsh. I passed them all up. I was looking for a phone, and I found one in a drugstore half a block away.
Lieutenant Rogers, homicide.
Barry Craig here.
Aloof tonight, eh?
Watch those college words. People will think you're educated.
I am.
Tonight, you're not ashamed of being a college graduate, Lieutenant?
I'm all alone in the office. Nobody will ever find out.
I'll tell them, Trav.
Unless I do what?
No blackmail. I want some information, though. You might have it.
You flatter the department.
It's about Ted Walsh.
Walsh? We'd like some information about him, too. For example, where to get in touch with him.
I haven't got it. Trav, on that bank job he pulled in Massachusetts, was it a solo flight?
A bank job's never solo, especially one involving $60,000.
But Walsh was definitely in on it.
So definitely, he killed a guard.
Thanks, Trav.
Hey, wait a minute. My curiosity's aroused.
Try a cold shower. Good night, Trav. That, for what it was worth, was that. I went back to Mrs. Walsh's little gray home in the West. It looked the same. I pushed the button.
Who is it?
Mary Craig. Leave the door on the chain, but open it a crack, huh?
All right. What's the matter?
I've decided to throw up the job.
What?
Yeah, I'm resigning.
But I don't understand.
It's a clear saving of $50 for you.
Why are you...
Let's say the hours are too long, huh? Good night, Mrs. Walsh. She was saying something as I went down the walk and away from the house. I didn't bother listening. I had to drop her. You see, I always believe a client, and Mona Walsh, however beautiful, was a liar. But however much of a liar she was, Mona Walsh was beautiful. So I hung around in one of those convenient doorways. With me apparently off the job, she'd need somebody else to keep Ted Walsh away from her. There wasn't much time left either. She wouldn't take a chance trying to find another gullible private detective. I was interested in who she would find. It took maybe a half hour for my replacement to show up. He was an anti-doorway boy. He picked an alley. I thought he looked lonely, so I dropped in on him. Hello?
What? Hey, who?
The name's Craig, Barry Craig.
What do you want?
I'm trying to find out what's special about this alley.
Nothing. I'm crazy about alleys, that's all.
You're sticking to that?
Sure.
Then...
Let go.
Thought you'd be packing one.
What? You ain't got no right taking a guy's gun.
I'm a lot bigger than you are. Would you like to argue about it?
Well, there's a dame in that house. Ted Walsh's wife. She's kind of worried he might show.
She doesn't love him anymore?
Well, I wouldn't know nothing about that. The orders was he don't get to her.
What does he get? Never mind. Who's got all the big concern for Mona Walsh?
Oh, why don't you leave me alone? What's your angle?
Maybe I want to send your boss flowers because he's a humanitarian. Feed me a name.
I didn't tell you nothing, understand?
Of course.
It's, Mr. Harold.
Harold?
Yeah, but remember, you didn't get it from me.
I'll remember. Here's your gun.
Oh, yeah.
I'm worried about Mona Walsh, too.
Oh, you don't have to worry about her. Nobody will get the jump on me again.
I hope not. So long. You start with the kid stuff. Snatch and run. Knock over a couple of small stores. Move up into the hot cars and cold decks. Go on to delivering boats a few seasons. Take over a few wheels. Buy a few debts, and you wind up being Mr. Harold. But by then, you wear tailored suits and handmade shoes.
Now, what's the idea this hour?
Their name's Craig.
Oh, Craig. I've seen the face around. Wait a minute now. You a private eye?
Call it confidential investigator. Makes it seem more dignified.
Yeah, well, call it what you want, but get out of here.
Not until I see Harold.
Let's make it Mr. Harold, huh? And he ain't seeing you. You ain't the type that appeals to him.
He's seeing me.
You pushing your luck or something? When I say you don't see Mr. Harold, you don't see him.
So far, it's only your word.
It's more than a word.
Everybody's got one. Yours licensed?
No, you care. Keep pushing and you're a trespasser.
Logan?
Yeah, Mr. Harold.
What's the trouble?
Yeah, I'm having words with a private eye who wants in.
Oh, indeed. Let him in, Bogan. I haven't seen one in years.
Okay.
Who knows? He may want to have his license renewed.
Not exactly. The name's Craig.
Bogan, put that gun away and leave us,
Okay, Mr. Harold.
Bogan is so impulsive.
A little crude, too, or haven't you noticed?
He doesn't polish easily.
It's getting late. What's half of $60,000, Harold?
$30,000.
That kind of money worth a debt?
I haven't seen the latest quotations.
Ted Walsh knocked over a bank a couple of weeks ago, killed a guard and collected $60,000.
An enterprising young man.
He had a little help. The way I figure, it was $30,000 for Ted, $30,000 for the help.
Seems equitable enough, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, but Harold, how do you share the debt? Harold needed a little time. I let him have it. The room was nice. Good furniture, oak paneling on the walls. Small Renoir hung just where the light would hit in the mornings. A girl brushing her hair before a mirror. She looked like someone I'd seen, and for a minute I couldn't remember where. She looked like the girl who'd married Ted Walsh.
You must have some interest in the rather sordid subject of Ted Walsh and his peccadillos. Why?
Mona Walsh. She tried to hire me.
She's a lovely girl. You wouldn't hire?
She lied to me.
Sad.
She wanted me to protect her against her husband. She'd heard he was here in New York. She didn't tell me who told her. Why?
I really couldn't say.
She wanted me to stake out in front of her house. So when Walsh got there, I'd take him. But Harold, how would Ted Walsh have found her house? She wouldn't have told him, not if she was really afraid of him.
Isn't all this Mona Walsh's problem?
No, Ted Walsh alive gets half of the $60,000. Ted Walsh dead gets a mouthful of dust in Potter's Field.
How picturesque.
See, problem is, how to kill Ted Walsh without annoying the police? The answer is, hire a private detective, let Ted Walsh know where his lovely wife is, and he heads for her. The private detective kills him. All nice and legal.
I suppose it would be.
Harold, you picked me to kill Ted Walsh for you.
You're ruining my tie.
Sorry, I have trouble with my temper sometimes. I don't like being a hired gun, Harold.
You turned the job down, didn't you? What more do you want?
I don't know. Maybe I'm worried because a liar is so lovely. I got out of there. I could have gone to lots of other places after that, but I didn't. I went back to my office and sat. I didn't have any doubts. Harold had set up Mona Walsh as a decoy. When I cried quits, one of his men moved in to protect her. Harold wanted Ted Walsh dead so he could hold on to all of the $60,000. And maybe Mona Walsh, too. It was an idea I didn't enjoy. I stopped having it. I was waiting without knowing what I was waiting for. I thought it might be nice if I had a Renoir to hang next to the dusty license on the wall. Then I thought of the people and the motives that kept me in business. I decided the Renoir wouldn't fit. The hours dragged by and I stopped kidding myself. Nobody phoned. Nobody would phone. I'd get up and go home and go to sleep. I got up, but I didn't go home. The street in front of Mona Walsh's house was empty and cold. The lights in Mona Walsh's house were out. And the boy in the alley wasn't there anymore. I was wrong. I hadn't gone deep enough. The alley closed in on me, and then I found him. He was propped up against the wall, his legs straight out before him, his head slumped down over his chest. He might have been brooding about the blood that had poured out of that chest if he hadn't been so completely dead. I left him there, he'd keep. He'd been dead some little while. Somebody had shot him, got past him into Mona Walsh's house. The lock on Mona Walsh's front door was in fine shape, except that the door wasn't locked. The living room was the way I'd remembered it. I went into the bedroom. She had fallen back across the bed. The stain on the front of her dress hadn't been her dressmaker's idea.
Hello?
Mrs. Walsh.
I hope maybe I'd see you again.
Hold it. Emergency. An ambulance. 435 Ash. Gunshot wound, and make it quick. Yeah.
Mr. Craig?
Better not talk.
Why?
There'll be a doctor here in a couple of minutes.
You've seen people like this before. I should be dead.
Will you stop talking?
No, I won't. What do you want me to do? Think about what my life has been. Shouldn't have married Ted. He's bad.
Now you don't have to.
I'm not making excuses. Only things happen. You lie about them, even to yourself. Now I don't have to lie anymore.
Once the doctor gets here,
oh,
you...
Oh, please. It's all going so fast now. Kiss me. Good night.
I...
When I was a little girl, my father always... Please.
Sure.
Thanks.
Good night. The doctor was a little late. The police arrived and made noises and were very busy. Mona Walsh didn't pay attention to any of them.
Barry?
Yes, Lieutenant.
We haven't been able to get a thing. A couple of the neighbors heard the shots but thought they were a car backfiring.
That happens.
Which gives us the time Mrs. Walsh and the character in the alley were killed. 1 hour and 10 minutes ago.
Does knowing that make you feel any better?
With all the deaths you've seen, Barry, you ought to be a little more callous about new ones.
Maybe I don't try hard enough.
Stay the way you are. It's better. Otherwise, you lose humanity. None of us can afford that.
They teach you that in college?
It's not taught anywhere. It's something you either know or don't know. Our policeman isn't supposed to give lectures, though, so... Ted Walsh is out in the open now. He must have holed up for the last couple of weeks, but... We know he's in New York now. We'll get him.
Yeah. Mind if I get out now?
No. Where are you going? We could kill a few beers after I'm through here.
Thanks, but not tonight, Tram. Because, you see, I won't be through for maybe longer than that. I wasn't holding out on Trav. I had to be sure. There was only one place I could think of that might help. If I were Ted Walsh, I'd go visit Harold. I wasn't Ted Walsh, but I went to visit him anyway. I always enjoy driving. It was a nice night for it. The only thing wrong was a red stain on a girl's dress. There was a car parked outside Harold's house. It started pulling away as I came up. I didn't try to figure out anything subtle. I just cut my wheel right into it. Both cars stopped quick. I was out of mine before Bogan could quite make it. But he made it out of his car. Hello, Bogan.
Why don't you watch where you're driving?
Yeah, me. Oh, you don't want the gun, but I do.
Why, you bitch.
You'll wake the neighbors. Thanks for the gun.
Yeah.
Hey, warm, and it's been fired. Within very recent history.
Now, listen.
Let's see if there's anything else in your car, huh? No. Nothing that moves. Bogan?
Yeah.
I can't take the time to deliver you. I'll have to put you on deposit for a little while. Heat keep. I thought Mr. Harrell might still be at home. Worrying about his car, maybe.
Bogan, what?
Oh,
Craig.
We'll go inside.
Now, look here.
I've got Bogan's gun.
All right. What do you want?
Your car's in a bad way.
That crash?
Yeah, I'm a careless driver.
Was Bogan hurt?
He'll live.
I'm going to call for a doctor for him.
No.
Now, look here. This is perfectly...
You're nervous.
I haven't anything further to say to you, Craig.
One man's opinion. Yours. I don't share it.
You must have looked into the car.
I did.
Well, that can be explained easily.
Explain it easily.
You saw Ted Walsh's body in the back of the car. He was a killer. He apparently thought his wife and I had been a little too friendly.
Had you?
Well, you know how it is, Craig.
I don't know.
Well, anyway, he came here. Threatened to kill me, so... Well, Bogan beat him to it, that's all. It was a case of self-defense. It would stand up at any court.
Sure.
Oh, there's no reason to lose your head.
I haven't lost it. Where was Bogan delivering the body? To the aquarium?
Well, you see, Bogan's record isn't too good. He was afraid the police might not readily accept a plea of self-defense. He wanted to dispose of the body. I tried to dissuade him, but I failed. As a matter of fact, I was just about to notify the police myself.
Oh, I'm sure you were.
I think you'll find the bullets in Ted Walsh's body came from Bogan's gun.
I don't doubt it.
Well, then, that sort of leaves me out of it, doesn't it?
How about the bullets in the body of the boy you sent to guard Mona Walsh? How about the bullets in Mona Walsh's body?
They're dead?
They're dead.
Oh, that's terrible.
Sure.
Ted must have got to them. He had a gun. The bullets in those bodies would have come from his gun.
Don't you mean the gun you planted on him? Mr. Harold looked a little sick. His face matched the way I felt. For a minute, I wished I'd developed those calluses Trav mentioned. Then I forgot about it. Mr. Harold retreated behind his desk.
Planted on him?
Ted Walsh came here before he went to visit his wife for his share of the bank money. Walsh died here. Bogan saw to that. But you still didn't own all of that $60,000. Mona Walsh might be considered to have a claim to half of it. So you decided to wipe out that claim.
You're dreaming.
You headed for a house. You had to take care of the boy in the alley. Walsh would have had to in order to get to Mona. You took care of him. Then you went into the house and ended the partnership between you and Mona Walsh.
No.
Yeah. You came back here, planted the gun you'd used on Ted Walsh. Bogan would dump his body where it wouldn't be found for a while. That way, no medical examiner could tell that Walsh had died before his wife.
That's very clever. You've got nothing to prove it with.
There's Ted Walsh's body. Examination now will show he died before Mona did.
A good lawyer could...
I've got something else. Something that told me Ted Walsh hadn't killed his wife before I even came here.
What's that?
An unlocked door.
I don't know what that means.
Mona Walsh's door was unlocked when I got to her house. The lock hadn't been tampered with, which meant Mona had opened that door. But she wouldn't have opened it to her husband. She was afraid of him. She'd have opened it for you, Harold. You've been fumbling in that desk drawer long enough. Bring the gun up. Maybe you'll beat me to the shot, huh?
I don't want to get involved.
You're involved. There's nothing left except maybe a chance to take me. Well? Okay, Harold. You're better, much better at killing women. Let's go tell some cops about it, huh?
You've been listening to William Gargan in another exciting transcribed mystery drama from the adventures of Barry Craig, confidential investigator. Tonight's story, The Long Way Home, was written by Lou Vittis. Next week, it's the strange story titled Dead Reckoning, about which Barry Craig has this to say.
Next week, matter triumphs over mind when a corpse with no head for figures starts pitching his weight around, with yours truly playing catch. Good night, folks. See you next week.
Featured in the role of Mona was Barbara Weeks. Barry Craig, starring William Gargan, was under the direction of Hyman Brown. This is Don Pardo speaking.
Wheaties presents Nightbeat. On stage tonight from Hollywood, Nightbeat, another in the Wheaties big parade of exciting half-hour presentations. Nightbeat.
Hi, this is Randy Stone. I cover the Night Beat for the Chicago Star. Stories start in many different ways. This one began with young love and ended with old death.
Night Beat, starring Frank Lovejoy as Randy Stone.
Right up there on your kitchen shelf, there ought to be a big orange and blue box that says Wheaties, Breakfast of Champions. Because cram jammed into that very box is whole wheat energy. 100% whole wheat. Wheaties whole wheat. But it isn't doing you much good all locked inside the box. It's got to be inside of you to help you feel eager and alive and good all over. So first thing tomorrow morning, grab that box, fill that bowl, pour that milk, slice that fruit, and dig down deep and eat and smile and love every bite of Wheaties.
This working at night and trying to sleep in the daytime is all wrong. It's getting so lately, my only contact with sunshine is my friendly little bottle of vitamins. The kind of tan you get from munching on a fistful of vitamins is nothing, believe me. Tonight, leaving that ever-loving bed was really a chore. I scraped a razor across my face, and I bathed my fevered brow with cold water to scatter the cobwebs. And I headed uptown for police headquarters and a couple of one-syllable words with my old friend, Sergeant Kalski. Kalski was on his way in to watch an early evening show-up, and I tagged along. If you've never been in a police show-up room, it's kind of like a little theater. The bad actors are the prisoners filing across the brightly lit stage, and the audience sitting in the dark are hard-bitten, weary detectives who've seen most of the performers too often before, and they know all the dialogue down to the last whimper. The line coming out now were women, an even half-dozen assorted sizes and ages.
Okay. Now just stand back against that measurement chart on the wall and face front.
Yeah, we know.
The usual cross-section on the police blotter of any large city. Shoplifters, thieves, narcotics suspects, husband beaters, and an occasional common garden variety drunk.
You, on the end. What's your name? You've been here before.
That's a lie. Never been here before in my life.
What's your name?
I refuse to say anything without the advice of the proper party.
Kind of hurt the old girl's feelings there, Kalski.
Not her, Randy. Her feelings were pickled in alcohol years ago.
Uh-huh. How about the young one there?
Good-looking kid, huh?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It doesn't seem to belong somehow.
Ah, they all belong, Randy. You can't tell by how they look. Why, that innocent-looking doll with her baby blue eyes.
Yeah, I know. I know. Don't tell me. Probably killed her grandmother. Only two will get you five. Whatever she did, it's a first offense. That kid looks half scared to death.
Hey, you on the far end. What's your name?
You mean me?
That's right.
I'm sorry, I can't see you. These lights are so bright.
You're not supposed to see me. Step out a little. Just answer the question. What's your name?
Linda Johnson. But I'm here by mistake.
Aren't we all here?
Quiet.
This is the truth. I want to explain. I don't belong here.
You'll have a chance to explain in court, miss. This is just a show-up. Why are you in here?
I don't know. I just arrived in Chicago this morning and they arrested me.
Well, what did they say you did when they booked you? What was the charge? All right, girls, that's all. That's all, matron.
Well, as I was saying, Kalski, this kid undoubtedly polished off a grandmother with an axe.
All right, Randy. So maybe it's the first offense. Maybe even a mistake, like the girl says, but you haven't looked at the book yet to see what the charge says.
Well, anyway, can I talk to her? It might be something for me.
Sure. Go ahead to the women's division. Tell the matron I okayed it.
Maybe it's got something to do with the stars, the zodiac sign I was born under. But I've always been a sucker for three things that spell trouble. That last little drink for the road, a right cross to the jaw, and a girl who still looks pretty with a jug full of tears streaming down her face. You'd think a fella'd know better. Oh, well. I went around to the woman's division for a close-up of the kid with the misty eyes. There was a lady cop at the desk. When I asked her about Linda Johnson, she gave me a funny smile.
You're a little late, Randy. She's being released.
I just saw her at the show-up.
That's right, but she's made bail since. I'll be bringing her out in a minute.
What was she in on?
Grand theft, I think. Now, let me see. Yeah, that's right.
Any details?
Swiped a fellow's wallet in a bar. Arresting officer found it in her purse.
Ooh, nice kid.
Oh, here she comes now.
Would you mind holding my watch while I talk to her?
Better wait till she's released, Randy. Then we won't be responsible.
Okay, wait here. Linda Johnson, Meg.
Papers clear?
Yeah, all taken care of.
Personal property release?
All signed. You want to open up?
Okay. I guess that's it, Miss Johnson. You can go now.
You mean you're letting me go?
That's right. Until the hearing. Tomorrow morning, 10 a.m., Department 5. Released on bail.
Oh, but I don't have enough money for bail. They said it was $500.
It's all paid. Bonding company posted bail half an hour ago.
But there must be a mistake. Who paid it? I don't even know anybody in Chicago.
Well, somebody evidently knows you, honey. And pretty well, too.
But who?
Don't you really know?
Oh, no. It's crazy. First I'm arrested and I don't know why, and now I'm bailed out and you won't tell me who put up the money.
I'm sorry, Miss Johnson. We don't have any way of knowing that. You can check with the bonding company in the morning. Probably a friend. Or maybe your folks.
Oh, no. No, they don't even know where I am. They mustn't ever know.
This kid was scared, but good. Her eyes had the bewildered expression of a little girl that's been whipped for something she didn't do and can't understand why. Up close, she was even more beautiful than she'd looked under those glaring white lights in the show-up. Her cheeks were pale, except for that bright flush of red high up. Her eyes were big and soft, and her lips were full and almost trembling with a strange sort of excitement. What happened? Suddenly I heard gypsy violins in the background. And she was just a gal, and I was just a guy.
Oh!
It was as though she'd heard my thoughts. Suddenly she swung around and looked straight at me, only then realizing that I was there.
Oh, I...
Her face turned a gorgeous red, and then she turned quickly and hurried out of the building.
Careful. She'll get more than your watch, Randy.
Yeah. I'll be seeing you. I followed the girl out the front door and down the steps to the street. It was raining. She hesitated a moment, looked around as if she weren't sure which way to go, and then turned towards the corner. I ran and caught up with her. Excuse me.
What is it? What do you want?
Miss Johnson?
They told me I could go.
Yeah, that's right.
Then why are you following me?
Oh, don't be frightened. I wanted to talk to you.
Are you a detective? Are you supposed to follow me? Is that it?
No, it's nothing like that. I just want to talk to you.
I don't know you. I don't want to talk to anyone.
Look, you're a stranger in Chicago. I just thought I might be able to help you.
No, you can't.
Oh, now, come on. Get under this awning. You're getting yourself all wet.
Don't touch me. Leave me alone or I'll call a...
You call a cop?
Oh.
Come on, you better get under the awning. I was in the show-up back there a while ago. It seems like they're not exactly inclined to believe your stories.
Then you are a detective.
No.
Well, who are you? What do you want? It's been like a nightmare since I got off the train this morning. First that man, then the police, and now you. What's happening to me?
Well, I can't answer for the first two, but the number three boy is a reporter fellow named Randy Stone.
A newspaper reporter.
Oh, don't say it that way. It's better than selling dope.
I should have known you wouldn't understand.
Where are you going?
Let me alone.
Come back here, you little fool. Wait a minute. You're going through a red light. She stepped off the curb against the signal. A big green sedan gunned up the street, throttled wide open, and raced through the intersection. Linda, look out! Get back to the curb. You want to get killed?
That car.
Did it hit you?
No, but the man at the wheel. He was the man whose wallet they said.
Now, look, lady, look, I'm a real simple fellow. When things come too fast, I get all mixed up. Now, what do you say we start at the beginning and in that doorway so that we don't get soaked?
I'm sorry. My name is...
Yeah, I got that. It's Linda Johnson, and you just arrived in Chicago this morning. Where from?
Molina, Kansas.
Did you come here alone?
Of course I came alone.
All right, don't get sore. I just asked a question.
But the way you asked it...
You said you didn't know anybody in Chicago. A kid like you shouldn't be running around alone.
I am not a kid.
Well, I meant you're kind of young. A girl your age floating around a big city on the loose.
For your information, Mr. Stone, I am old enough to go wherever I please.
Yeah, but not old enough to stay out of trouble, it seems. What about this guy in the green car, this wallet guy?
I met him last night on the train.
Didn't your mother ever tell you about talking to strange men on trains?
My mother has nothing to do with it. If she had her way, I'd never have left Molina.
That might not have been a bad idea.
Oh, if she hears about this, it'll kill her. You won't put anything in the papers, will you?
Oh, so that's it. You ran away from home.
I didn't run away. I just couldn't stand living in that narrow little town any longer, with nothing to do, no place to go, nobody to talk to. Day after day, being around
Nothing but people who love you? Yeah, that gets a little boring, doesn't it? All right, so you didn't run away. You left home, and then you met this man on the train.
He was pleasant to me. We had a drink together in the club car, that was all. Today I met him again in the lobby of my hotel, and he drove me out to this place, the Rainbow Club. But then I didn't like the way he was acting, and I wanted to leave. But he wouldn't let me.
What do you mean, he wouldn't let you?
He just wouldn't let me. And then a policeman came in, and I started to call the policeman, but before I could, Mr. Blake called him and said I'd stolen his wallet.
Wasn't there anybody else around?
Just the bartender.
Well, what did he say?
He said he saw me take it out of Mr. Blake's pocket while we were at the bar.
And then the policeman found the wallet in your purse?
Yes, but I didn't take it. I didn't.
Why would anybody want to frame you on a thing like that?
Oh, you don't believe me, do you? You don't believe me either.
Well, I don't know. The whole thing's a little strange. If you're telling the truth, that... Oh, why don't kids like you stay home where they belong?
Oh, let me alone. Just let me alone.
Look, Linda, whether you like it or not, I'm taking you to your hotel. If the driver of that car is the guy you say he is, he's the one that might have gotten you bailed out of the clink.
But he had me arrested. Why would he have me bailed out?
To get you outside where he could kill you.
What?
Oh, sister, you're really not old enough to be out in the rain.
General Mills is bringing you Nightbeat, starring Frank Lovejoy as Randy Stone.
We make quite a to-do about Wheaties being America's favorite whole wheat flakes. Well, why shouldn't we? It's true. People eat more Wheaties than they do any other whole wheat flakes, and we're proud of it. For instance, some of my friends say they like Wheaties because they just plain taste good, kind of nut sweet and toasty, a flavor that keeps on tasting good morning after morning, no matter how often you eat them. Then there are the other folks, like some of the guys I hunt with, and they say they need the energy they get from Wheaties, the whole wheat and the vitamins and minerals. They say they seem to feel better all over, all morning, after a breakfast that starts with a big bowl of Wheaties and fruit and milk. Now me, I started getting Wheaties because Jeff, my 3.5-year-old boss, likes them so well. And now that I'm eating them too, I don't know whether it's because they taste good or because they make me feel good. Now, it'll be kind of interesting to see what you think. So, next time you plan to have breakfast, dish up the Wheaties and see if it's the good crisp taste or the good on-your-toes feeling you like best. But really, it doesn't matter which, because you're going to get both. Anytime you eat Wheaties, breakfast of champions.
And now, back to Nightbeat and Randy Stone.
Yeah, like King Solomon once said, latch onto a pretty girl and you latch onto trouble. And this kid, Linda Johnson, wasn't just pretty, she was beautiful. A genuine 14-carat trouble doll. All in one day, she's arrested, bailed out, and almost killed. So, just like the Chamber of Commerce would want me to, I escorted the fair visitor to our city to the safety of her own hotel room, a middle-class business hotel in the Loop. Now that we are in off the street, she seemed a little more relaxed. She shook the rain out of her hair, she turned on the radio, and we sat down on the couch. Frank Blake you met on the train. Did you ever see him before?
No. He was a complete stranger.
Why would a complete stranger want to kill you?
No. Maybe I just imagined that was Frank driving the car. And anyway, it was my fault for walking against the signal.
Uh-huh. All right, now let's see. You met him in the club car on the train, and you talked with him a while. And then what?
Then we went back to our own cars. I said goodnight at his compartment, then went on through to my own car.
Didn't he invite you in?
Certainly not. He was traveling with someone else.
A lady?
No, a man.
You sure about that?
Of course. I saw him when Frank opened the door. But please, let's not talk about it anymore.
Okay, let's talk about you. Can I turn this down a bit? Why'd you come to Chicago?
Oh,
usual reason, I guess. Why does any girl come to a big city? So that she can live a little. So that she can be on her own.
Maybe you're not old enough to be on your own.
That's what you keep saying, isn't it? Well, come here.
What?
There. Still think I'm not old enough?
No, you're old enough.
But what?
Oh, so you want to play. Now, you're 22, you read a book, you got some ideas about what life in the big city's all about?
That's right.
So you're not a little girl anymore, hmm?
No, I'm not.
All right, big girl, I'll play. But don't forget you started this little game, and don't say later you weren't playing for keeps.
I won't.
Well, you see, the way the big fellas play, it's a little different. They put an arm around your waist, like this.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty hard to get away, even if a big girl wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
And they hold you closer and closer until you don't think you'll be able to breathe anymore. And then his face is so close to yours that you can't see his features anymore. Just, oh, Linda, you're beautiful.
Oh, don't let me go.
See what I mean, big girl?
Oh, you just wanted to make a fool of me, didn't you?
Oh, did I?
The door. There's somebody at the door.
Yeah, that's right. There's always somebody at the door. Open it.
Oh, but you here, won't it look...
Oh, certainly not. I'm a guest. You look perfectly respectable, very properly attired. The only thing you're not wearing is your dignity.
Oh,
now go
you...
on, open the door.
Hello.
Frank.
That's right, inside.
Well, what do you know? The man in the green sedan.
Correct.
Also the man named Frank Blake.
The same.
Also
the man with a gun.
Ooh, I see.
So don't move,
Oh, huh? Please, Frank.
Keep your voice down, Linda.
All right, mister, what's it all about?
Don't you know?
No, I'm afraid I don't. Wait there. Oh, no. Don't tell me I fell for that one.
It's not funny.
Oh, let me see. This is the place where you say, I'm the lady's husband. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right, wise guy. I'm the lady's husband.
Oh, no, Randy, he's lying.
Shut up, Linda.
And then I'm supposed to ask how much it'll cost for the outraged husband to forget about the whole thing. Oh, no.
You're pretty smart, mister.
Oh, the badger game, the oldest game in the world, and I fell for it. Wait till Kalski hears about this.
Oh, he's lying, Randy. He's lying.
I said shut up.
Oh.
Look out, mister. Drop it. Now get your gun.
Come back here, you.
When he dropped the gun, I kicked it across the room. As he scrambled for it, I scrambled for the door, and I made the street and nothing flat. I was traveling so fast, the night clerk in the lobby could have mistaken me for a flying saucer. And I was sore, not only at them, but myself, for being taken for a sucker. From the cigar store on the corner, I telephoned Sergeant Kalski. In less than 10 minutes, police were posted at every entrance to the hotel, and Kalski and I were on our way back up to Linda Johnson's room. All right, go ahead, Kalski. Say it. I got it coming.
Well, anybody can make a mistake, Randy. Like I say, you can't always tell by a pretty face.
Oh, but that badger game, it's the oldest racket in the world, and I fall for it hook, line, and sinker. And here I am giving her lectures to go home to her mother.
Hey, quiet now. How far down the hall?
It's the third door.
Stay close to the wall.
That's it. It's the next one.
Let's stand back. You may shoot.
I'm back.
Open up, Blake. It's the police. Come out, Blake, with your hands up. Blake, Miss Johnson.
Okay, Randy, we're going in.
What?
It's open. Come on.
Well, there's no one here.
Oh, yes, there is. Look, behind the bed.
Linda.
With a pillow over her head.
Ooh, drenched in chloroform.
Get rid of it. Here, give me a hand with a wrench.
Let me get a window open first. There.
Now she's breathing.
Linda, come on. Come on, Linda. Come on, wake up.
Come on, girl. Take a deep breath.
Oh, brother, how stupid can a guy get? The kid was on the level. We almost let her get herself bumped off.
What do you mean, we?
Oh, don't.
Linda, it's all right. It's Randy Stone.
Oh, where is he? Frank. He tried to kill me.
It's all right, Linda. The police are here. You're going to be okay now.
Oh, you were right, Randy. He was trying to kill me.
Okay. Let's have it straight now, miss. Why did he do it?
But I don't know. I don't know.
Was he your husband?
Oh, no, of course not.
Boyfriend who was jealous?
No.
Well, did you pull a job together? Were you holding out on him? Is that the reason?
I told you I didn't even know him.
And what have you got on him? What do you know?
Nothing. I
Oh, you must know something. There's a reason. There's got to be a reason. Now tell us, miss, why did he do it?
I don't know. I just don't know.
Oh, take it easy, Kalski. Can't you see she really doesn't know?
Okay, so she doesn't know. But there's a reason. There's always a reason.
Unless maybe Frank Blake made a mistake.
What mistake?
Well, unless maybe Frank Blake had the wrong girl. Unless maybe he was supposed to kill somebody else that he didn't even know and he thought Linda was...
Come again?
Yeah, that's right. No, that's no good.
Yeah, I better send out a bulletin. Now, what about this guy, Blake? What did he look like?
About your size, I'd say.
Yeah, that's right, Kalski. About your age, too.
5'11", 180 pounds, 32 years old.
Oh, come again.
The color of hair?
Dark.
Eyes?
I didn't notice. Linda?
I wouldn't be able to tell.
What do you mean you wouldn't be able to?
I can't tell colors. I never have been able to.
You mean you're colorblind?
Isn't it stupid?
Why, certainly not. It'd be much worse if we couldn't tell the color of your eyes.
Thank you.
Okay, Miss Johnson. I guess we'll have to take it back to headquarters again.
To jail?
Oh, now, wait a minute. Kalski can't take her back to jail again tonight. She's out on bail. Besides, don't you think enough things have happened to her already?
But she's not safe here, Randy. It was just lucky we got here this time. It's for your own protection, miss.
Oh, Randy, I'm frightened. You were right. I shouldn't have come to Chicago.
Yeah, well, you're here now. Look, Kalski, I know we can't leave her here alone. How about my place? We can drop her off at my place. You'll be safe there, Linda. We left Linda safely locked in my apartment, and then I went back to headquarters with Sergeant Kalski. For the next 2 hours, we looked at pictures, full views and profiles of every mobster who had ever been mugged in the state of Illinois. And then I stopped. There he was, staring right up at me off a card. Frank Blake, only here he was called Frankie Bolano.
Recognize him?
Oh, yes, that's him. Who is he?
Let's see the card. Part of the old Red Machete gang.
Never heard of them.
Now, wait a minute. Let me look up Machete. Then Mabel, Mesa, Machete. Yeah. How do you remember?
Yeah, Donald Machete, alias Red Machete, convicted murder first degree, sentenced life July 1941, escaped June 1949, shot by deputies while swimming across Des Plaines River, drowned, body not recovered. Well, he's dead. That doesn't tie in.
No.
Unless the guy on the train, the guy in Blake's compartment.
And they thought Linda had seen him.
Well, say he didn't drown. Say he got away. They've been hiding him out for over a year. And now they were moving him.
Let me see that card. Height 5'8", weight 160, age 42, hair red, eyes blue. Identifying marks. Bright red strawberry mark on left cheek. No wonder they thought Linda had spotted him.
Only she couldn't have. She's colorblind. Sure, that's why she walked right through that red light tonight. She can't tell one color from another. From there on, it was a breeze. We knew what we were looking for. Frankie Bolano and Red Machete. And with Kalski knowing all the right answers about all the wrong people, we found them both right where we should have looked in the first place. In a private room over the Rainbow Club where Linda had been arrested that afternoon. After I'd seen them safely into a cell, I got on the phone and called my apartment. You know, come to think of it, it was the first time I'd ever dialed my own number. A girl answered.
Hello?
Kind of a sleepy girl with a beautiful voice.
What did you say?
I said you're beautiful, Linda.
Who is this?
Randy Stone, that nice-looking young fellow in whose apartment you've been living.
Fallen asleep.
Yeah, well, wake up, Linda. It's all over.
You found him?
Oh, yes. Your late friend, Mr. Blake, is now resting comfortably in the city Hoosgow on a slight charge of attempted murder, aiding a penitentiary escapee, harboring a fugitive, and deliberately framing a pretty little girl from Molina, Kansas. A pretty big girl from Molina, Kansas.
But why, Randy? Why did he do it?
Oh, it's a long story, but mainly because you started to holler copper, and he just did some fast thinking, and he hollered first.
Do the police know that I didn't...
Oh, sure. No more charges. They even threw your records away. Great little fixer, this Stone fella. You ought to get to know him better.
I want to. Are you coming home soon?
Oh, no, no. Not my place. You know, neighbors.
But I want to see you, Randy. You've been so wonderful to me.
Oh, sure, but...
Don't you want to see me?
Oh, I do, Linda, sincerely. Look, I'll tell you what.
You hop in a cab right away. Meet me on the corner of Dearborn and LaSalle. Can you remember that?
But why?
Oh, never mind why. It's 4:30 now. How long will it take you?
No time at all. But my clothes, I haven't changed. My bag's still at the hotel. I didn't even unpack.
But never mind. I'll pick it up for you on the way. You'll hurry?
Oh, yes. I'll hurry, Randy.
Swell. I'll have something for you. Hi, what kept you?
What do you mean, what kept me?
Never mind. Here, keep the change.
Sure. Thanks, Mac.
Oh, Randy, I hurried.
Hi.
I'm not frightened anymore.
Swell.
And I'm so happy. Hold me, Randy, close.
Here?
Don't mind me, folks.
Oh, you'll go away.
Where are we going, Randy?
This is it. Right here.
But this is the train station.
Uh-huh.
And you said you'd have something for me.
Oh, yeah. Here.
A ticket?
One way. To Molina, Kansas. Well, yes, Mom, I did the right thing, all right. I made the noble gesture, and now I feel pretty good inside. I feel like a big man. I feel like a big chump, if you want to know the truth. Who am I to suddenly get so noble where a beautiful girl is involved? Oh, well. Maybe if I rationalize long enough, I can kid myself into thinking she had to go home because she was running away from some unfinished business. You try to run away from things, but you can't ever run away from yourself. Who knows? Maybe someday I might try running away myself. Wonder what it's like in Molina. Copy, boy.
You are listening to Nightbeat on the Wheaties Big Parade.
Say, Frank Lovejoy, before you get away, I wanted to tell you that was a swell show.
Well, thank you, Frank Martin. It's nice to hear. I think you do a mighty solid job on the commercials, too, you know. Only I think if I were working on that end of the show, I'd tell the folks...
You're absolutely right. Frank Lovejoy. I'll make a note to be sure and say that Wheaties are 100% whole wheat, just about the crispest, nicest way there is to get all the good nourishment whole wheat has to offer. Any other suggestions?
Well, you certainly shouldn't forget that Wheaties...
Well, I should say not. They're breakfast of champions.
Yeah, and then that part about their...
Yep, America's favorite whole wheat flakes. That's an important point. Anything else, Frank?
Well, I think you ought to tell people that
Right. They can get Wheaties at their grocers anytime. Say, Frank, thanks for the help. That was fine.
Well, think nothing of it, old boy. Good night.
Nightbeat, starring Frank Lovejoy, is produced and directed by Warren Lewis and edited by Larry Marcus. Tonight's story was written by Warren Lewis with music by Frank Worth. The part of Linda was played by Barbara Fuller. In tonight's cast were Gerald Moore, Jeanette Nolan, Lou Krugman, and Francis Cheney. Listen next week at this same time and every week as Randy Stone searches through the city for the strange stories waiting for him in the darkness.
And this is the Wheaties man, Frank Martin, inviting you to listen also on Tuesday, that's tomorrow night, to the Penny Singleton Show on the Wheaties Big Parade. See you then.
Nightbeat comes to you from Hollywood. This is NBC, the national broadcasting company.
That's going to do it for this episode of Case Closed. I'll be back next Wednesday with another hour. In the meantime, there's more old-time radio, lots more coming between now and next Wednesday, all of which can be found at relicradio.com. All the other shows are listed there, past episodes, links to our forum, Shoutcast stream, Facebook page. Everything Relic Radio is linked to right on the front page of the website. There's also a donate button if you'd like to help support this and all the shows. I appreciate it very much. Thank you very much for joining me today. Talk to you again next week with another episode of Case Closed. Case Closed is produced by and for RelicRadio.com. Rebroadcast of the show without permission is strictly prohibited.